You're listening to the Rockingham Baptist Church podcast. We hope you enjoy our sermon of the week. For more information, please visit rockingham.org.au.
So we are in the middle of the Heart for the Heart House series, and I'll do today's lesson for this teaching. I'll begin with a story from the Old Testament. What should I do? Jump? Didn't help. Oh, good day.
It's all just right. A little bit slow on the computer.
Good. I'll see you on the next slide. But so here we go. We are back some 3,000 years ago. So Moses. Moses led the people of Israel out of Egypt, for 40 days, 40 years in the desert. He brought them to the border of the promised land. But as we know in the Bible, Moses was not allowed to enter the promised land, but he died on the eastern side of the Jordan River. He disappeared, died, or God took him, buried him, whatever he did with him, on the Mount Nebo. And then Joshua was appointed as the next leader of the whole nation. Joshua led the people of Israel into the promised land, divided the land, and etc., etc. If you read your Bibles, you know the stories. If not, well, not the boys and girls. So Joshua, he lived for certain amount of years. And at the end of his life, as Joshua was closing to death, he knows his days are numbered. He knew it. He called all the leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel, called them to the place of Shechem. See, we've heard that name this morning again, and an interesting coincidence. And Joshua gave them last instructions as he was going. Okay, I'm dying, so now make sure that you continue the work of the Lord. And this part of the story is recorded in the book, of course, in the last chapter of the book that carries Joshua's name, Book of Joshua, chapter 24. Here we go. Verse 1. Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, leaders, judges, and officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. They didn't have Facebook or any, other means of communication before. So when they met, once in a while, they had a lot of things to talk. So they talked, discussed this and that for a long time. And then at the end, Joshua challenged them with a few more questions and words, and he said, and that's the next slide. Click the next slide. Oh, perfect. Good. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. Cast aside the gods your fathers served beyond the Euphrates and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if it is unpleasing in your sight to serve the Lord, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Of course, we know that what followed wasn't happily ever after obedience and serving the Lord. It's always more complicated with us humans, isn't it? So it wasn't just rosy journey forever good, But what I want to point today is just one thing, that serving the Lord is a choice that every person has to make. Serving the Lord is a choice. Joshua challenged them, saying, choose for yourselves today, this day, whom you will serve. It was a decision he was challenging them with. Every person has to make. Serve the Lord. We know, actually, well, the term serving the Lord in the Old Testament is general term that actually means believing in God, belonging to him, worshiping him, bringing sacrifices, etc., etc. It was a big term that included everything. And we will probably today focus, when you say serve, it's kind of more narrow in our mindset. But just be mindful what it means serving the Lord in a Bible. So Joshua, remember, he called these leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel to Shechem. And they were, in the description of the Bible, they were elders, there were some judges, there were probably some military leaders, we would say government officials in today's terms, you know, people who already served in some capacity, in some positions of authority over the 12 tribe of Israel. So they've been serving probably all their lives. Yet, at this point of time, he's challenged them yet again. Choose you today. Whom will you serve? And he's saying, whatever you choose, whatever you decide is your business. As far as me and my house, my household, we will serve the Lord. You do as you please. Okay? Next slide, please. Good. Now, so what followed after this challenge was so-called renewal of the covenant relationship between people of God and Yahweh, God of Israel. And so the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God and obey his voice. I think that would be next slide. I think I've got this on slide. Next one. Yes, here we go. Yeah. So the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God and obey his voice. And these are important words. On that day, Joshua made a covenant. You see, that's covenant for the people. And he at Shechem, he established for them a statute and ordinance. Joshua recorded these things in the book of the law of God. Then he took a large stone. I was thinking of bringing some, you know. But yes, the Arka is not big enough for it. So large stone, and set it up there under the oak that was near the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all people, you see this stone? It will be a witness against us, a memorial, you know. For it has heard all the words the Lord has spoken to us. And it will be a witness against you if you ever deny your God. And they have chosen to serve the Lord. The covenant was re-established. The people were rededicated to the Lord through the leaders, then the whole nation of Israel. Now, we leave that story at a moment, and we'll jump two and a half thousand years later, and we'll go to the time of, next slide, please, to the times of Reformation. In 1525, Reformer Martin Luther, he published a book, and it was called the Servo Arbitrio. If you can see it in Latin, it's in the middle of the book. The Servo Arbitrio. In Latin, it means honor the unfree will. Or it can be also translated concerning bound choice. Or another possibility of translation, enslaved will. But most commonly, this book is known by the name The Bondage of the Will. The Bondage of the Will. And this book became one of the most famous writings of the Reformation. Maybe famous or infamous, depends how you look at it, because it stirred a lot of discussions, a lot of fierce battles, theological and all kinds of battles, discussions about predestination, synergism, monergism, Pelagianism, Arminian theology, and all kind of whatever isms, things that you don't have to worry about at all. So don't bother reading the book, okay? You probably won't get any smarter. So what I mentioned, this controversial book that stirred theologians for next 500 years, and they're still discussing it, believe me, you know. So don't worry about it. So just really. Because this book actually is dealing with one important argument, one question that was really the question. Can we, human beings, decide? Can we make a choice? Choose to follow God? Do we have a free will to do so? That was the whole, you know, argument. And Luther was saying, no, we are so corrupted, we are so sinful, because when we sin completely and we fell apart from God. We are cast out, kicked out from paradise. We are separated from God. And actually, even our will is sinful. And our will by itself will choose only what is sinful. We can't actually go and turn to God because it's we are completely bad. Will, and he used these words, will is sinful, if of sinful man is so corrupted that Satan rides it and it goes where Satan wills. But when we become born again, by grace of God, and God does it in us, only then, when we are renewed in our complete being, human being, only then our will become God's will. And only then our will can will what God wants. See? So that was the argument. So when God redeems you, he redeems entire person, including his will. And we are liberated then only to serve the Lord. But then Luther came with this interesting word that actually became this controversy. He says, what he means, he said, we have no free choice either way. Because he means, when we are not saved, a person has no free will because he's bound by the devil. But when once we are saved, that's not actually, we don't have a choice not to serve the Lord. Because once you are saved, you really have no other options but to serve him. It's a no-brainer. You know, that's what he means. No free choice. What do you mean? You are saved, but you don't want to serve him? Doesn't work. It shouldn't be a choice. There's no free choice. Oh, I follow you, Lord, but I don't. You know, so that's no free choice. Once you are saved, once you are washed, once you are born again, you belong to him, full stop. See? You can't go anywhere else. So that's what he meant. There's no free will. Like, if you are saved, you want to go back to hell? Like, you know? So that was the argument, you know? So, but don't worry about this thing too much, you know? Just, no, you are saved, okay? You have no choice but serve the Lord. And in Romans 6, 7, and 8, there's a spiritual journey of a man who's lost, and then he's coming to the Lord and getting, you know, into Christ. And in Romans 7, there's a lament of a person who is slave to sin. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. For I have desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it on. This is the bondage of the sinful will. You know, person that has will to do something good, but he can't because he's slave to sin. See? But only then in chapter 8, it reaches the point where he says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Only once you're in Christ, you are free from all of that slavery, all the Egypt. And John Wesley, he explained the Arminian conception of free will, saying, the will of man is by nature free only to evil. Sinful man is free only to decide what is bad, you know. Yet, every man has measure of a free will restored to him by grace, by God's grace. So, okay, I will not talk too much about theological stuff anymore, so, you know, okay. Now, but just a spiritual lesson for us now, connecting to the Old Testament story that I mentioned in the beginning. So, the Israelites that were challenged by Joshua in that story, he challenged them to choose their allegiance. The Israelites at this point of history, they were a group of people who were 40 years ago redeemed from slavery. They were saved. We can use that word. They were freed. They traveled through the desert for 40 years. They experienced God in such a way that no other nation has ever experienced God and saw God like they did in the desert. And they were led to the promised land, into the land of God's promises. And so we can declare them. They were saved people, saved from slavery. That's the spiritual picture. While they were in Egypt, they were slaves. Slaves to Pharaoh. They have no free will. They had to serve Pharaoh, who was God, declared to be God. Okay, they served false God not by their choice. They had no choice. They were slaves. But then, by God's grace, they were taken out of that. Went through the Red Sea, symbolism of baptism, if you want. They were led into the harsh desert and whatever, led into the promised land. Now, as free men, they had a choice. They had a choice. Go back to Egypt or stay in the promised land, see? And I can use even more kind of modern Christian language. We can say, Joshua at this point was talking to saved men, saved people. We were also slaves. We were in our Egypt. Okay, we were slaves to sin. We were slaves to devil, to hell, but God has delivered us by His grace and led us to the land of His promises. And now, as God's children, as people of God, we enjoy this land of milk and honey, where God is blessing us with all the benefits of being children of God. And only now we have that free will to choose to serve Him or not. Okay. Do you want to go back to Egypt? If you are an idiot, go. But, you know, who would do that, you know? But I'll say it even more simplistic way. And there's a next slide. There's a difference, though, to receive Jesus as your Savior and to let Him be the Lord of your life. We spoke about that before, but today, again, this is... Choose you today for yourselves. You know that every person who repents of his sins, asks Jesus to forgive him, and calls on his name, is saved and goes to heaven. That's simple, okay? We all understand that. Believe in Jesus, receive him, and you are born again Christian, etc., etc. But the question still is, can you become a Christian without making Jesus the Lord of your life? Yes, unfortunately, we have to say yes. Well, let's give you an example. Can you attend a Christian crusade? Evangelist comes to the city, we go to the stadium, bring 10,000 people, 50,000 people, and there's a challenge, altar call, you raise your hand, you say the sinner's prayer, you come to the front, you receive the free complimentary Bible, you fill the card, you know, they gave it to you, go happily home, and you are saved, you go home. And you don't have to attend the church and start serving and your lifestyle. You know, how many times have you seen this? Saved, but not the Lord of your life. And that's what, well, it shouldn't be possible, really. That's what Martin Luther's arguing. Once you are truly receiving Jesus, when you truly give Him, as we sang in that song, that's why I love it. Lord, I give you all of my life. All of my life. All means like everything. It's a lot. It should be impossible to choose anything else but to serve Him. It should be our new natural normal. You know, it should be impossible to have any other will but to serve Jesus, bound by His love, by this new law that is inside us. By His grace and by His abundance and all these things. That is what Apostle Paul means when he says in 2 Corinthians 5:14, the love of Christ constrains us. Which means that it is the love of Christ that is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit that is the driving force behind all our actions of Christians. See? the word constraints, it expresses the new reality of the born again Christian. We are bound by love. If you are my age, older, you remember, you know, some decades ago we used to sing that sentimental, lovely song, bind us together by love. We're asking for that straitjacket of love. We ask for it, see? Because love, it says, we are, love of Christ constrains us. Give us no options but to love Him and love our neighbor and serve God and serve our neighbor. That's what we are saying in that song, see? Of course, God does not need our serving, our obedience, our participation so that He can forgive us. Nobody can boast. We don't contribute to our salvation. It's all His work, His job. See, He doesn't save us because anything we do or anything we don't do. He saves us because He saves us, because He loves us, because this is Him. God is gracious and loving and forgiving. So, still, question is it possible to become a Christian and not to come to church, not to read the Bible? Yes. Is it possible to become a Christian and not to contribute with your finances, with your time, with your energy, with your... Of course, yes. Again, there are no conditions. It's, I will save you if you will give me your offerings. God doesn't do that. He saves completely. He gives everything. And then what we do with that salvation, it shouldn't be, again, no-brainer. We should just go. But people are not just so simply following the Lord with everything. And that's why Joshua, and that's why we as well, have to remind ourselves, is the Lord Jesus Christ my Savior? And is He also the Lord all of my life? All of my life. Because is it possible to be a member of the RBC and not to serve, not to participate in any meaningful way to the well-being of the whole body of Christ? Of course it is possible. Yeah. Unfortunately, that's why James chapter 1 verse 22 says that we can be hearers of the word and not doers. If it wasn't possible, he wouldn't write the scripture, okay? That's why we need reminders. We need to encourage each other. We need to foster that spirit of service, spirit of servanthood. As Jesus was serving, as we know, washed the disciples' feet and did all kind of stuff. We are family. We use this word so often, but really, let it sink in your family. Does every member of the family is contributing in some way to the running of it? Or some probably contribute more to the chaos of it, but you know, we are all part of the deal, okay, of the works. So this is family, okay? Do you leave your dirty dishes behind? Well, your mommy will tell you something. So now your pastor is telling you something. So this is the Sunday, you know, that we do it, actually. All right. Joshua was addressing the leaders and through them every single person in the nation. Because we need to hear it again and again. That's why every year, once a year, we have Heart for the House series. A reminder of how am I doing in my personal life? Have I become lukewarm in the last 12 months? Is there any backsliding observed in me, in my spiritual life? Am I serving myself mainly instead of serving the body of Christ? Have I lost focus on what is really on God's radar? Or am I focusing on things that I really like, but I don't care whether God is, you know, really has them on priority list or not? Are these things possible? Of course. Yes. So that's why we need to ask ourselves, not just once a year, but maybe more often, Okay, Lord is my savior, but is he the Lord of everything in my life? You are saved, you are happy, you go to heaven, praise the Lord. Is he the Lord 24/7 of your life? So today, this morning, this Sunday morning, this is I'm here as Joshua was some 3,000 years ago or something, and I'm asking you or challenging you with the same words. These are rededication of our lives to the Lord. These are renewal of the covenant. He is our Lord and Savior. We declare it, we say these words so often, but let these words really sing and touch and penetrate and show us. Make him Lord of my life. See, when God saves us, he saves us, and that part of the job, we cannot contribute to his saving grace, saving work at all. That's his job. But making him Lord of your life, that he cannot do for you. That part you have to do for yourself. Choose you today. Will you serve him with your heart, with your hands, with your feet, with your time, with your wallet, with your energy, with your schedules, with your hobbies, abilities, intellect? And don't look at what you don't have. God is not interested in what you don't have, but look what is in your hand and serve with what you have, what you can do. That belongs to the Lord, does not belong to you, because you belong to him completely. So this morning again, honestly, sincerely, willingly, and on your own will, rededicate your life, or that part of your life that needs it, needs correction or needs anything. Rededicate all your life again under the Lordship of our Lord Jesus Christ, who wants to be glorified through everything that you are and everything that you have. Because he deserves all glory and all praise. What you choose is none of my business, but as far as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning that you called us to this place, and we believe we are not here by chance, by coincidence. You, by your Holy Spirit, called us to this place together. You gather your holy people. This is your perfect will in our lives, to come together as a family and worship you and praise you. We thank you for this privilege that we can give glory to your holy name, Lord. We thank you for saving us, for leading us out of our Egypt, for leading us through the waters of our Red Sea and giving us the freedom in this land of promises, when you shower us daily with your blessings, with blessings, with blessings, grace upon grace, every single day. We eat manna every day, Lord, or we ate it on the desert. Now we enjoy the blessings beyond measure, milk and honey. This is us, Lord, under your care, under your love, forgiven, freed, saved. But Lord, you don't want just to save us, but you want us to live for you every day of our earthly lives until the last breath. So Lord, this morning, as one body, as a Rockingham Baptist Church, as one community of believers at this place, Lord, we rededicate our lives to you. We're surrendering ourselves to you again with everything that we have, everything that we are. We belong to you. You purchase us for yourselves. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to show us in our own lives any signs of lukewarmness. Expose to us any lame excuses that we sometimes make, and show us, Lord, how can we serve you, how you want us to serve you serve one another and serve you and glorify your name with the things, not things that we don't have, but things that we do have, things that we are. And Lord, we know that you, as the word of God grows in us, as you grow in us, you grow your church by it. So we pray, Lord, as this word we've heard, I pray, Lord, that this would be you talking to us, not the words of Milo, but you, Holy God, speaking to us. Let this word grow in us and bring changes that are necessary and absolutely crucial for your body of Christ to grow in this place. Multiply, multiply and multiply. As in Acts of Apostles, the word of God grew and you added to the numbers daily. Lord, we want to see your body growing in us and through us to the glory of your name, Lord Jesus. We invite you, Holy Spirit, right this very moment, speak to us individually and speak to us as the body of Christ. Minister to us. Work in us, Lord. Expose, shape, reshape, recreate. And let your name and your name only, Lord Jesus, be glorified in everything we are, in everything we do. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rockingham Baptist Church podcast. If you would like to learn more about our church family, get involved, or have someone pray for you, you can email us at office@rockingham.org.au or send us a message on Facebook.